saw an article and picture a couple of weeks ago, and when I saw it, I immediately sent it to our preaching team at all of our campuses who are preaching today, because it fits right in with what we're talking about in dealing with loneliness. And I'm calling the message today, The Answer to Loneliness. And here's the picture that I saw, and here was the headline. The title of the article, The Hand of God. Brazilian nurses use gloves filled with warm water to create human touch for COVID-19 patients. Look at that picture, and it was just so moving to me. People are in a hospital room, isolated and alone, fighting for their lives, and nurses who are waiting on them, they know the healing power of just the human touch. And so in an effort to bring hope and healing, they fill up a glove with warm water, place it on a patient's hand, calling it the hand of God. I see this picture and think about so many today that you may not be isolated and alone physically, like patients battling COVID in a hospital, but on the inside, this is certainly how you feel. Isolated, alone. If we could see into your soul, you feel like you're dying alone internally. Feel as if no one gets you, no one wants to be with you, no one cares for you. Maybe that's what you walked in here with today. You could be in the midst of hundreds of people, thousands of people, and yet still feel all alone. I know what it's like. About a year ago, I was driving down the road, and I don't see myself as a lonely person. But I was driving down the road, and I didn't have a podcast going. I didn't have the music blaring. I wasn't talking on the phone. Wasn't checking social media. I mean, I wasn't doing anything. It was just me and the road. Imagine that. And all of a sudden, just these overwhelming feelings, this sense of loneliness came upon me. And I'm telling you, if you know me, I don't see myself as a lonely person. I mean, I'm an extrovert to the nth degree. High I on the disc, number 7 on the Enneagram. That means I lean in towards people. I feed off of the energy of people. Love it. I mean, I've got nearly 2,000 contacts in my phone, all right? Me, a lonely person, no way. And yet in this moment, that's exactly what I felt in that silent car. Just felt lonely all of a sudden. And if statistics are correct, it's not just Francis that feels this way. It's not just people like me at times that feel this way. Late last year, a Gallup poll reported that 24 to 26% of Americans feel lonely, making them among the loneliest people in the world. It's amazing. Here we are, the most connected people ever, and yet also the most lonely. A Cigna health study from this past year surveyed 10,000 young people from Generation Z and millennials. Here's what they found. Nearly 79% of the Gen Z respondents and 71% of the millennials reported feeling lonely. It seems as though loneliness continues to grow more and more with each generation. It affects all of us, regardless of age, regardless of demographic, regardless of background. I know many of our elderly, senior adults can feel very lonely at times. We all know loneliness. And so it's important to look at the scripture and see what God's word has to say the answer is to loneliness. And here's what I'm asking the Lord to do today. I'm asking the Lord to do in our time together to use his word and his spirit to make us intimately aware of the fact that no matter how lonely we may feel, that we would always know the real hand of God, not some glove filled with warm water, but we would know the real hand of God, no matter how lonely we feel, is always on us. That he is always with us. Now, as we get started today, I want to begin by making a theological statement, a truth that has some major implications for our life as we talk about the answer to loneliness. I'll put it on the screen. Here's the theological truth. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write it down. You can look at it later. Here's the theological statement. We are made for relationship. Let's take this back to the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there, starting in verse 26. I'll read through verse 27. The Bible says this: "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness.'" Verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." This is known as the Imago Dei, the image of God. Man is created in the image of God. What this means is we are created in his likeness. As a mirror reflects our image, so too when looking at humans, we reflect the image of God. Now, as it relates to loneliness, this is extremely important to understand. God has never been lonely. He's never been alone. You look there in verse 26, we see the first reference to the Trinity in all of Scripture. Do you see it there? "Then God said, 'Let us.'" Who's he speaking to? That's the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He has always been in a perfect relationship with himself. God did not create man because he was lonely or alone. He's always been in a perfect relationship with himself from eternity past. One God, three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in perfect harmony and in perfect unity. And because we are made in his image, we are therefore made for relationship. A relationship with him and a relationship with others. Now that's the sermon right there. Boil it down to one sentence. We are made for relationship. The answer to loneliness is a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others. That is the sermon. Please don't leave, all right? A lot to unpack as to what this really means. Making sure, understanding that we are made for relationship, that it's in our DNA, makes us who we are, core part of us. It's what it means to be made in the image of God. Pastor and author Tim Keller puts it like this: Adam was not lonely because he was imperfect. Adam was lonely because he was perfect. Adam was lonely because he was like God. And therefore, since he was like God, he had to have someone to love, someone to work with, someone to talk to, someone to share with. All of our other problems, all of these things we're talking about in this resilience series, anger, anxiety, fear, cowardice, arise out of sin and our imperfections. Loneliness is the one problem you have because you're made in the image of God. See, our loneliness, something that all of us share because we are made in his image, should point us to God. This is where the loneliness void should be filled. The problem is, because we have this sin nature, we avoid God at all costs, and we try to fill that loneliness void with all of these other things. You just fill in the blank. We try to fill it with friends and followers. We try to fill it with fame. We try to fill it with fun. Try to fill it with family. I was praying with a group of our deacons this morning, and one of them was telling me how he prayed to receive Christ at 57 years of age. He said, "There was just a loneliness in my life, and I had everything. I had family, I had a career." You fill in the blank what we try to fill this loneliness void up with, and none of those things are the answer to loneliness. In fact, we see every single day people that tend to have everything. They have the fame, they have the followers, they tend to have it all. And yet they're some of the most lonely people on the planet. And many of them are numbing their loneliness with alcohol and pornography and food and entertainment. They'll do anything and everything they can to avoid this sense, this feeling of being lonely. The research I mentioned earlier referring to Generation Z and the millennials. Again, I love these generations, and I believe that God is going to use these generations perhaps more than any other in the days ahead to bring revival to our country. I really believe this, and just to let you know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to give you an update, Champion Forest, as to where we are as a church as it relates to our budget. We're getting ready right now to gear up into 2022 year budget, and we're making plans. I called our student pastor, Justin Holcomb, and I said, "I want you to dream big. big because we've got to reach this next generation. I told you last week, we're going after your kids and your grandkids because I'm telling you, the enemy's going after them and we're going to win out. And I just want you to know we need your help, Champion Force, to do it. That means we're going to have to reprioritize some things that we do around here. We're going to have to look at the ministries. We're going to have to look at the budget. And we need to be all in because we're going to have to go to them. We can't just expect them to come to us anymore. And that's going to take money. We need it to happen in order for us to reach them in an effective way. Many of these young people are trying to fill that void of loneliness. Again, most connected generation ever. You would look at their social media accounts, all the people following you, think this can't be lonely. Yet they are. This article went on to say, and I quote, one major factor, remember 79% of Gen Z, 71% of millennials, lonely, could be social media. The survey found instead of bringing people together, social media platforms have a major impact on loneliness, and avid users were more likely to feel alone, isolated, and left out without companionship. Everybody's looking for relationship. We were made for it. And the answer to loneliness is understanding that first, we were made for a relationship with God. This is the vertical dimension of being made for a relationship. We're made for a relationship with God. The horizontal dimension, of course, is we were made for a relationship with others. This is why God, after he creates man in his image, he looks at all of creation, and he says, it is good, it is good, it is good. He creates man. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, just one page over, and look at what the scripture says. Then the Lord God said, it is not good. He creates man. Everything is good. He looks at man, he says, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Now, we usually look at this passage, and we point to it as a text to defend marriage. And we should. God initiates, he creates, he forms the home, the institution of one man, one woman coming together to make one. It's God's math. It doesn't make sense. 1 + 1 = 1. He created that institution before he created the church. He created it before he created government. But foundationally, this passage is not just about marriage. It's about our need to be in relationship with other people. Look, I've known plenty of married people who've been married for years, live in the same house, but they might as well be living on different planets than one another. Lonely. And it's just a word to our young singles out here that are praying for marriage and thinking about marriage. Don't you get married because you think that's going to solve the answer to your lonely heart. One lonely person plus one lonely person does not make a cure for loneliness. It doesn't. You make sure that God's bringing you to that person and that you're mutually serving one another. Not because that person is going to help your loneliness. The opposite is true as well. My former church, I served as a young singles pastor for nearly a decade. I saw a lot of young singles that were waiting on Mr. Right, Mrs. Right, and didn't find it. But they weren't lonely. You know why? Because they were living in biblical community. I'll say more about biblical community in a moment, but the point I'm trying to emphasize here is that we were made in the image of God. And therefore, we're made for a relationship with him and a relationship with others. When you think about it from a theological standpoint, all of the Bible, creation, redemption, it points to this fact, made for relationship. And what happens is when man sinned against God, it created all sorts of disorder and dysfunction. And so what is the purpose of Jesus coming? Yes, it is to secure our salvation. But what is he ultimately doing? He is restoring us to a right relationship with God and allowing us to have a right relationship with others. Boil it all down. This whole Bible, all of it is about being made for relationship. Right relationship with God, right relationship with others. And this is why feelings of loneliness can cause so much despondency, cause so much sadness, because we know innately within there is a desire for connection. We know when we're lonely, something is short-circuiting, like the breakers this morning. Something's going out. It's not working. And the temptation when we feel this way is to think that something is wrong with us, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Instead, when we feel lonely, it should point us to God. Look, if you're lonely here today, there's nothing wrong with you. That makes you normal. And I could point you to people throughout Scripture who felt lonely. Moses felt lonely when the Israelites wanted to run him out of leadership, complaining and whining against his leadership. Read the Psalms. David's life, it's like a journal of loneliness. Jeremiah, thrown in prison. He's known as the weeping prophet. Don't you know some of these tears were him in prison going, "Where are you, God?" Jesus, the Son of God, he knew loneliness. On the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He knows what it is to be lonely. Feelings of loneliness don't make you less than. Again, they make you normal. And it points to the fact that you were made in the image of God. And so the question is, what can we do when we have these feelings of loneliness? When they begin to overwhelm us. I want these feelings of loneliness to be like the check engine light on your car. When that check engine light comes on, you know, okay, I need to get this checked out. Something's going on underneath the hood. And when you have feelings of loneliness, I want it to be the check engine light of your soul. And so, what do we do when that light comes on? I want to give you four very practical practices, if you will, that you can implement in your life when it comes to feeling lonely. The first two practices have to do with our vertical dimension, our right relationship with God. The second two have to do with our horizontal dimension, having a relationship with others. They all start with the word connect. Because like Legos, right? They were designed to connect. Lego by itself doesn't do a whole lot of good. But when you put them on top of one another, you can build something beautiful. And so, let's begin. When the loneliness light comes on, I want you to begin by asking this question, am I connecting? Number one, we should be connecting with God in solitude. What on earth does this mean? One of the first books I read in college was a book by Richard Foster called Celebration of Discipline. Knowing I was preaching on this subject, I went and grabbed it, and he has a whole subject on solitude. And the first sentence of that chapter says this, Jesus calls us from loneliness to solitude. Solitude takes place when we get alone with God for a period of time without distraction. That's what solitude is. Getting alone with God for an extended period of time without distraction. How are you doing in this area? Are you connecting with God in solitude? All it is time alone with God. And you know why this is important? Because when you connect with God in solitude, it's there that God reinforces that you are not alone. Being alone with God is where God will highlight for you, you are not alone. Go back to that hand of God pit. Solitude reminds us he is with us. His hand is on us. Jesus knew solitude. He would break away from the disciples from time to time, get alone. The scripture says he'd go to a desolate mountain and pray. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed alone time with his Father, how much more do you and me, how much more do we need alone time with God? Some of us, we choose to deal with our feelings of loneliness by never being alone. That can be a big problem. It works against us when we try to numb our loneliness with noise and busyness and activity. Tell me it's not true. We'll do whatever it takes to not be alone, to not sit in silence. We bring that phone with us. We've got the notifications on. We'll turn the radio on. We'll go somewhere with someone. I think a lot of our spiritual growth is stunted because of a refusal to be alone, to sit with God in silence. I mean, the God who knows you, created you, understands what you're dealing with, the one who can give you his power to deal with it. Refuse to ever be alone and just sit before him in silence with his word, an open heart, no distractions. I'm not arguing to go join a monastery here and take a vow of silence, right? But I'm also saying, always being in a crowd, never being alone, that isn't healthy either. For some of us, our personalities will determine which area we float in most. The point I'm bringing to our attention today is that we need to understand that there is a difference between being lonely and being alone. And sometimes we need to be alone and we won't feel so lonely. And so we should connect with God in solitude. Some of you with young children are saying, Jared, that's a David Copperfield magic trick. Come on. How? It does take some sacrifice. It does take a desire and a longing. And I'm just praying and calling us to get sick and tired of being sick and tired of not interacting with God. With God. Connect with him in solitude. Secondly, connect with God in worship. We've talked about this before, but worship's a perspective changer. We get our eyes off ourselves, we get them on God. The goal of our worship is the magnification of Christ. Psalm chapter 34, verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." This is what worship does. It magnifies the Lord. It elevates our mind and our eyes onto him. Gets our eyes off of ourselves, off of our situations, off of our struggles, our losses, and it draws us to him, our affections to him. This is why worship is so very important. For some, the best practice you could implement after time alone with God in solitude is to just turn on some worship music and let it elevate your heart and your mind, your eyes, your affections to Christ. I'm not minimizing worship. I know it's more than just singing praises and listening to worship songs, but it is important part of lifting our soul. There's something about it. So we connect with God in worship. There's a power when we're in a room like this and we're singing together and we're worshiping together corporately. Let's move to the horizontal practices. Connect with others in community. Isn't it true sometimes when you're lonely and feeling lonely, you just want to isolate yourself more? Just want to be alone. But the scripture doesn't call you to isolate yourself. Scripture calls you to insulate yourself. You know, home in wintertime, if it's well insulated, you turn that heater on and that cold outside doesn't affect the heat inside because it's well insulated. Well, this is what biblical community is for the Christian. It's insulation for the soul. So when the cold air of loneliness begins to blow in your life, you have some insulation to protect you. This is biblical community. Church is referred to as a family in the scripture. This is how God refers to us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." I mean, you look around you. These people in this room, they're not strangers. Even though you may not know them, they've trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ. They are our family. God is our Father. And he's given us this family, this biblical community, to help insulate us from feelings of loneliness. This is why if you're at home and you're still watching online and you're doing it because of health reasons, that's good. Stay online. But if you're doing it out of habit, that's bad. You need to get back here and be well insulated. Because these feelings of loneliness and despair, depression, they can spiral out of control. Church is insulation to loneliness. Psalm 68:6, "God settles the solitary." It's translated elsewhere. He settles the lonely in a home. Every single person here and watching online ought to have three homes. One, you ought to have an eternal home, where you're going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. You ought to have an earthly home, where people love you for who you are. It's a refuge for you to go to. And you ought to have a church home. And I'm praying that today, if you're not a member of Champion Forest Baptist Church, you'd make it your church home. Everybody needs three homes. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so connect with others if you're lonely. Connect with others in community. As a church, as a family, the best insulation we have is what we call our life groups, where we break the big church down into small groups, and we have them for every stage and phase of life. Go to our connections desk and let us get you in a life group. This is practically, you can do these things right now. Connect with God in solitude, connect with God in worship, connect with others in community, and fourth and finally, connect with others in service. One of the best things you can do for your loneliness. You want to help and heal your loneliness? Start helping others. Miriam Stark Parent, PhD in counseling and psychology, says this: the best remedy for loneliness is to focus one's energies on serving others who are in need. Doing so will distract a person from his or her problems and help others in the process. And to that I say, amen. It's one of the best things someone can do who's lonely is just say, you know what, I'm going to just look for somebody to serve, somebody that I can give back to. I was sent an article a few weeks ago, and I just filed it away knowing this sermon was coming. Japan, late last year, appointed to the government a new role, this is true, called the Minister of Loneliness. And what they found was suicides were increasing. In October, this is a quote, more people died from suicide than had died from COVID-19 in Japan in all of 2020. I didn't know this, but loneliness and isolation, such a problem. Japan's not the first country to appoint a minister of loneliness. The UK appointed one as well back in 2018. I'm telling you, it's a universal problem. And we have the universal answer: a relationship with God. I started thinking about this and I thought, my goodness, as Christians, I mean, we got a room full here of ministers of loneliness. And as believers, we ought to be going out into our community and showing and sharing the love of Jesus, telling people they don't have to be lonely anymore because they have a friend that sticks closer than a brother in the person of Jesus Christ. We know someone who will never leave you, who will never forsake you. I'm telling you, you're here today and you don't know Jesus. I'm telling you, he is someone who will love you, stick by your side. He gives you his Holy Spirit when you enter into a relationship with him. He said he will live in you forever. Never have to be alone. And these feelings of loneliness in a moment can dissipate when you give Jesus your life, when you embrace community. Look, this is a process.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.